Are you looking for a first communion, confirmation, or graduation gift? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May is the new bonded leather cover edition of Luther's Small and Large Catechisms. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040 and request the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May, Martin Luther's Small and Large Catechisms, 1-800-325-3040. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. I know that when you are listening to this program, either live or on demand, the program keeps running while you keep listening, and maybe you have a thought. You think to yourself, Wilkin, why didn't you ask this question right there? You should have asked that question of the guest. I needed to know that. You didn't ask it. And by the time you've had that thought, well, we've gone on to a different question. I know that that can be the experience listening to Issues Etc., either live or on demand. That's why we have the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 618-223-8382. It means that you can pause right there, give us a call, 618-223-8382, and ask that question right there on the comment line, since I missed the opportunity to ask it, and then you can unpause the audio and go on with the interview and enjoying the program. You can call anytime. Maybe it comes to you later after you've listened to the program and you're thinking about something a guest says, a question or a comment comes up, a great time to call the Issues Etc. listener comment line. And we like to respond to as many of the comments as we can during the course of a broadcast week. Let's begin with some feedback from the Issues Etc. comment line about our interview recently with Terry Mattingly on the Marvel movies.
Greetings, Pastor Wilkin, Jeff, and Craig, and all Issues Etc. listeners. This is David from Fort Wayne, and once again, in yesterday's interview about the God-shaped hole in the Marvel universe, Terry Mattingly hits a home run by saying that it's full of sorcerers, demigods, and engineers, like the Greek gods with feet of clay. And very fascinating, because in this Myths Are Us world, certainly is entertaining. And yet it shows how fallible that our world has been when things are left up to us, and how contrary to that, the whole, so to speak, is filled rather with Christ, in whom, as Colossians says, are the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, rather than giving in to the philosophy and rules of the human elements and the elemental spirits of the world, mythos, or mythoi, I should say, rather the fullness of the deity is through Christ dwelling bodily, and he fills us with his grace, with his presence, and that reality invades us when he baptizes us in his name, for his purpose of saving us there, not in therapeutic deism, but in Christ, is the whole filled. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your comment as well. I think it was Harold Sinkbile that observed, oh, this was decades ago now, I'm dating myself, in a book that he wrote, maybe it was Christ in Action or another one of his books, Dying to Live. He said that the problem with our age is not that it is godless, but that it has too many gods. And he wasn't speaking only of the gods that we all create in our own minds, like our money and our job and our family, those things that we value more than the true God, or those things from which we expect good rather than the true God. But he's also speaking about the real gods of our age, the kind of things that people really do worship in this. It's not just our money. Americans have all kinds of gods. And it's not very popular to say this, but you know, sometimes our God is politics. We expect our good things from our politics. Or let's just put it this way. People on the right and people on the left both, to a certain degree, regard government as God. Even if you say, no, I don't. The government's the source of all my problems. Well, maybe your God is small government. If we could just do this and do that, then the world would be a better place. So I think Sinkbile is correct when he says that the problem isn't that our age is godless, but that it's got too many gods. If one more than the true God is one too many gods, and we will fill that with anything. So people who live lives essentially as though God does not exist. There are people who do this, you know. Not everyone's sitting at home like little Martin Luther in his monk cell, crying himself to sleep every night over his terrible sins that he has committed before God. Most people, let's just be honest, especially in America, most people go to bed completely happy with the way their day went. They are not troubled by many things except maybe the troubles of this world. And God is the last thing on their mind. They still have a conscience. I'm not saying they don't have a conscience. And yes, they may still call upon God in trouble or think about him occasionally with occasional guilty thought. But by and large, they're going about their business and they're perfectly happy. And yet they're still troubled by exactly the same kind of, well, call it what you want, existential worries and anxieties that beset all of us. Their conscience is still there. How do you appease a conscience that may be tickling you a little bit? There are a lot of ways to appease it. You can go out and get drunk and silence your conscience. The alcohol is a tremendous conscience silencer, a chemical way. You can just go to a movie and just descend into fantasy or escapism. You can binge watch your favorite Netflix program and escape from reality there. A lot of the escapism that we find in American culture today is not just a product of our affluence and having too much time on our hands. It's a product of the fact that we have a conscience and we're trying to silence that very conscience. And we always take the last, we always refuse the last resort, which is the true God with whom we finally will have to deal. So I think Terry is quite right, and you are quite right as well, David, that when Christ is not the answer to the conscience, we will seek to silence it, ignore it, medicate it, do everything we possibly can in order not to deal with that. And when God is not even part of the question, much less the answer, it's not unusual to find people expressing this in the demigods and the semi-gods of our fantasies. And those fantasies are sometimes played out on the big screen, and we spend a lot of money to see them and to make them up.
This is Herman. I'm commenting on a copy that I received of Pastor Wilkins' evaluation of the Nadia Bowles Weber's book, Shameless. It was very appropriate. Appreciate that Pastor Wilkin is a difficult job, but somebody has to do it, as if you have to kind of take your machete and cut through a jungle of theological confusion to shed light on things here. It's interesting, several things in there. Mentions this lesbian woman who tears out all of the Bible but the four Gospels in some type of Indian ceremony and then holds those close to her heart. Well, ironically, let's say Matthew chapter 5, Jesus upholds the precision of the Old Testament, the Hebrew language, every jot and tittle is of authority of God. Chapter 19 of Matthew, the creation and the relationship of marriage and created in man and woman. And then Luke 24, verse 44-48, where Jesus is saying, the Moses, the prophets, and Psalms all speak of me. So if within those Gospels, you have to link to the rest of the Scripture. It was interesting that you had one quote from her book about she proposes a new discussion. Oh, that's a favorite term in liberal circles, where words will be deconstructed, definitions turned into mush, and all sorts of quicksand proposed as the way to proceed into divergent rabbit trails. It would occur that her article and the substance of it would suggest that another circulating publication referred to as the Christian Century, and her type of book and thinking go right along with that. And if they really want to be popular, they could merge the Christian Century and the popular magazine called Cosmopolitan. It'd be a good fit for what they're proposing at Sharif Gurgis and others mentioning puritanical progressivism. Indeed, that's a new form of law that is masquerading as grace, leads to destruction in this life and in the world to come. Thank you very much.
I often say, smartest listeners in radio, there's a reason why I say that. By the way, he's referencing the review that I did of Nadia Bolz Weber's book called Shameless, A Sexual Reformation in the latest online Issues Etc. journal. It's absolutely free. If you want to read that review, you can subscribe for free at our website, issuesetc.org. Click the red subscription button, enter your email address, and we will send you the latest Issues Etc. journal. As I said, absolutely free, issuesetc.org. Now, yeah, it was a little painful reading Shameless because actually it's kind of embarrassing to read it, not because of the sexual content. There's nothing racy about it, not compared to what you're going to see or hear from anyone else. Nadia Bolz Weber has this reputation of being super edgy and super racy, but she isn't. She's just about as mainstream American culture as you can possibly be. There's nothing edgy about her. If measured by the standard of American culture, there's absolutely nothing edgy about Nadia Bolz Weber or her ideas. You will get these ideas from any gender studies professor at any university, from any activist in the LGBTQ community. They are just boilerplate progressivism. That's all they are. So don't expect to read the book and find something super shocking. Unless, of course, you're going to read it from a perspective of a Orthodox Christian, and then all of it is not just shocking, it's heretical. There's no two ways to put it. But yes, she tells a story about one Cindy, and she tells this story very approvingly. It's actually the kind of the apex of the book, where this young girl who struggled with her homosexual thoughts and ideas, one day outside an Indian sweat lodge, decides to take her Bible, and she tears out the pages that make reference to condemning homosexuality, and she throws them into the fire, and then she takes the four Gospels and she tears those out of her Bible and she clutches them to her breast and throws the rest of the Bible besides the four Gospels into the fire. And this is a story that Nadia Bolz Weber tells with great approval of what happened there, to basically make the point that, look, we can't be listening to the Bible anymore on this. And you're quite right, Herman, that you can't stop there either, because the Gospels also have things to say about that. Even Jesus has things to say. Once you start down the road, which is Nadia Bolz Weber's road, is called gospel reductionism, and you start discounting certain parts of the Bible because they don't comport with what you believe the gospel is, nothing is safe. In the end, gospel reductionism is not about emphasizing the gospel or preserving the gospel. It's about undermining scripture and the gospel, because the two go together.
This is Paul Werman in Milwaukee. I'd like to know, and perhaps other listeners would like to know, the particulars about the recording of the Messiah on the program of April 23rd with Professor Hurl of Concordia, Nebraska. I understand it's, as best we can tell, a reflection of what Handel actually composed and had played in his time. Also, you might consider having Professor Hurl on more often. He's knowledgeable and he's articulate on the radio. Thanks for listening and for consideration.
Thank you very much. Yes, the recording that we used for that interview with Dr. Hurl on the resurrection in Handel's Messiah was from the Academy of Ancient Music, if you're interested in that. And I completely agree with you. Dr. Hurl is an excellent guest. He brings not only a deep knowledge of the music, the composer, of the history itself, but he also deeply appreciates the theology. We ended that interview asking him, if all someone knows about Handel's Messiah is that famous Alleluia chorus, which is a great part of the Messiah. What are you missing? And he said, well, you're missing the resurrection. You're missing the reason for those Alleluias. Why are we singing Alleluia at the end of Handel's Messiah? It's because Christ is raised and now he reigns forever and ever. He lives and reigns. We end our prayers this way in the church. We say at the end of every standard collect in the church, for you live and you reign. The two go together. The resurrected Christ is raised to reign, and that's why we're singing those hallelujahs at the end of Handel's Messiah.
Hey, this is Mark in Fenton, Missouri. I just thought you might like to know that after listening to a recent episode responding to the listener call line and emails, it was not an entirely wasted 15 minutes talking about music. I rather enjoyed it. Thank you guys for all that you do. Bye.
Well, he's making reference to what we have referred to here for about a decade as the inane banter that occasionally makes its way into our listener email segments and the comment line segments. You will notice there was no inane banter here, and the reason for that is because in order to respond to comments, Jeff doesn't have to read any email, and if Jeff doesn't get the microphone, generally speaking, the inane banter remains at a minimum. But there are listeners who absolutely love our, what shall we call them, excursuses into subjects other than the strictly serious. And I think we were talking about, and we heard from a lot of listeners on this, if I'm not mistaken, when we discussed music and the kind of the sad state of affairs when a washed up musician who still manages to tour regularly still insists on touring regularly and they're just not able to cut it anymore. I vaguely remember discussion of Hall & Oates and Elton John and Billy Joel. Hall & Oates was the one that I could not convince Jeff that Daryl Hall is far from washed up, because Jeff's only memory of Hall & Oates is probably from, I don't know, a makeout party in the eighth grade. So if that's your only experience with Hall & Oates and their talent, I don't blame you for believing that Daryl Hall is completely washed up. The show is, by the way, called, I think it's called Live from Daryl's House. Just look it up on YouTube, Live from Daryl's House. If you believe that Daryl Hall is not a rock and roll talent, just watch a couple of those where he invites famous musicians into his house. He has a recording studio there. And they just play. And you will be completely convinced that maybe you'll be convinced that Hall & Oates was one of the greatest rock and roll groups ever to walk the face of the earth. I don't know. More inane banter. When we come back, we're going to turn back to the serious. We'll talk about the goals of the gender inclusive agenda in public schools. Mary Rice Hassan will be our guest from the Ethics and Public Policy Center in Washington, D.C.
Church music directors can find a new community at Prelude to Postlude, the CPH music blog. Learn helpful tips for managing music ministry and involving members, and meet the composers of some of your favorite new pieces. Plus, find suggestions of music to use for special services, and preview some of our newest works with free samples you can use at your church. Visit us at preludetopostlude.org.
Discover a truly Lutheran approach to education. Concordia University Chicago's Center for the Advancement of Lutheran Liberal Arts supports a vibrant, growing community of classical educators. Whether you're a teacher, administrator, parent, or homeschooler, we have the resources and contacts you need to start a child's journey into the Lutheran Liberal Arts. Visit cuchicago.edu/cala. That's C-A-L-L-A.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth. Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world, LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season, LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Do you dread going to work out?
Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.